Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Jonathan Hutton outkicks Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow. It's been a few months, and I still trip up with it. Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow will join us at noon. Willie Donick still on a very well-deserved vacation, but D-Mace is here. D-Mace, how we doing?
Hey, we're doing wonderful. It's we're back at home, which feels good.
I feel like I haven't been here in 17 years.
Good to see your faces again. Hello.
Seriously. Hey, I forgot what you doing, looked Nick? Like,
yes.
Nick.
Thank you. Yes, I still wear glasses. Uh-huh. Yep. Still have brown hair. I didn't shave my head. So, yeah, we're good.
Good. Yeah, I walked in here. I thought, man.
It seemed like ages ago we were
nostalgia.
In here.
Nostalgia. Yeah. It's like stepping into your childhood home. Like, wow.
Oh, man. God, that room looks much, it looked bigger when I was little. Yeah. When I was younger, it looked so much bigger.
When I was here last week. Life comes at you fast. Well, D-Maze, I had something planned for 11 o'clock, but Chase kind of uprooted that a little bit with one of the questions that he was asking his listeners. So when we were kind of switching in, Chase was coming out, we were coming into the studio, we were kind of throwing this around, and you had a pretty strong feeling about it, and I feel like you, of all people, are more educated and entitled to have an opinion on this than maybe any of us in this room. So I will pose the same question to you that Chase was posing to his listeners that we were kind of throwing around before the show. Chase said, would you rather have A.J. Brown and Corey Davis or the duo as currently constructed with Treylon Burks and DeAndre Hopkins?
And he was referencing back to the 2020 season when A.J. had over 1,000 yards, 11 touchdowns, and Corey had close to 1,000 yards and six touchdowns. And both of them missed through, two or three games? Mm-hmm. Was it a 17-game season?
16.
2020 was the last 16 games.
Yeah. He had 984
for receiving. So they both missed two games.
And Tannehill had a Pro Bowl kind of season.
Exactly.
And it was Derek a solid Henry offensive line. Taylor Lewan was healthy.
Derrick Henry.
Henry was Derrick Henry.
So in that year, they finally found two guys, along with Jonnu Smith. They finally found two or three guys that they could rely on game in and game out as far as if they're on the field, what they were going to produce. They finally found two guys that were able to produce at a level that, you know, defenses had to recognize what the Titans were doing from a run standpoint, because Derek was that the 2000 season? I think that was the 2000 season too. And Derek was doing what he had to do. Mm-hmm. And those two guys outside, you know, they were putting in work. And for whatever reason, they allowed those two guys eventually to walk, which I think about it now, it just blows my mind. Like, seriously, when you have two receivers like that, you try to keep them together as long as possible. Mm-hmm. But Chase posed the question, would I rather have that duo in the 2020 season or the duel that we have now? It's not even close, and it's no disrespect to the two guys, Treylon and D-Hop, but I would go with AJ and Corey because I knew what Corey was. Corey was a really good two, wasn't a one. They drafted him to be a one. When they drafted him, I'm thinking like, no, he's not a one. You're drafting him too high. When you draft him that high, he is a game changer. He is as Jared phrased it, force multiplier. Mm-hmm. When you draft somebody that high, that's what they are.
Right.
You know, they
change the trajectory of your franchise.
Absolutely. So when you draft him that high, and then you start to realize, man, he's not that guy. Well, he was always a number two. You the one that drafted him to be the savior of the whole receiving core. But they bring AJ in and they balance it out very quickly. And you have two guys, they haven't even reached the peak of their career yet. Two guys that are ascending, because now you have two guys that plays well off of one another. You have AJ, that's your bona fide number one. He's going to get all the coverage, but he's going to still get his catches. And you have Corey that now he gets to go against the number two corner. Mm-hmm. And Corey, I would bet on Corey against the number two corner that year, anytime, any place. He can play the number one if you need him to for a game or two, but he was your flat-out number one. He reminded me almost of a Keenan McCardo, Jimmy Smith, if people know about that, or a Isaac Bruce and a Torrey Holt sort of in the same sense, because both of them can go out there and make plays. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. I'm not saying they're like those
and
guys.
And both were two very different kind of receivers and they were two different skill sets.
Absolutely. They balanced each other well. They balanced the offense well from a passing standpoint. I would take them because I don't, as much as I like Traylon, I haven't seen a whole season of him. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't seen, he needs to put together some seasons. But I think he's going to be great. But I'm going with two known commodities over a known commodity and a question mark. Not a question mark meaning, is he going to be, you know, hell of a player, but a question mark of when will he get there?
And we just haven't seen it.
Exactly.
Yet.
We hadn't seen it because of injury, because of, you know, his rookie year inconsistencies. Mm-hmm. But we believe he will be that this year. But that's just hoping. I saw what Corey did. I saw what AJ did. I'm taking those two guys all day, every day. Because one, they're younger and they're playmakers. D-Hop's a playmaker, but he's a little bit older. And I don't know how many games he's going to play this season. So I'm taking a known commodity, like the full known commodity, over the known commodity, but then a question mark. And a question mark is not a bad question mark. Mm-hmm. It's just he has not put together a season of work. That's all.
Well, and I think it comes down to it's the devil that you do know versus the devil mm-hmm. that you don't. It's easy to say, well, yeah, we're going to go with AJ and Corey Davis because you know mm-hmm. what AJ and Corey Davis did. That with those two and the offensive line that they had and with Derek's 2,000-yard season, with Ryan Tannehill playing at the level that he played in that 2020 season, you know how well it turned mm-hmm. out. You know that the Titans had one of the most effective offenses in the National Football League that year. So, of course, you're going to lean toward, well, I know what happened. I know that duo worked, that wide receiver tandem worked and was really good for this team. And also with Arthur Smith, let's mm-hmm. not forget exactly. that the offensive Arthur coordinator Smith, was a big part of that as well. So, of course, you're going to take that over the question marks and the uncertainty and the hope, mm-hmm. really, with Traylon and DeAndre Hopkins. But really, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I'll say about Corey Davis and AJ Brown and as good of a tandem those two were in that 2020 season, the same thing that my mom used to tell me when I broke a toy when I was mm-hmm. growing up. Cry about it and get another one. That's exactly
They've tried.
That's exactly what you have to do. Uh-huh. Cry about it and get a new wide receiver core. Cry about it and look at what AJ Brown did in Philadelphia and talk about how bad of a trade that was. And then try and find a new A.J. Brown. Because you're not going to be able to hold on to them forever. And mm-hmm. I do think that we all have a tendency as sports fans and just in life. Mm-hmm. When we look back on things, we always tend to remember the good things. Mm-hmm. We never always remember why things went a certain way or maybe the negative things about that. Because it's easy to look back and say, man, A.J. Brown was so stinking good for this team.
Yeah,
it's so easy to look back and say, man, look what A.J. Brown did for the Eagles this team. I mean, you add in A.J. Brown mm-hmm. this past season. You add in A.J. Brown to this Eagles team. It turns Jalen Hurts from is he a franchise quarterback? To he could be an elite quarterback.
Exactly.
But we don't think about the number of times that A.J. Brown was injured, the number of times that A.J. Brown had to come off the field because of a hamstring
and
or
was
whatever.
Those were things that we talked about during when he was here.
And we don't remember the social media antics mm-hmm. that went on, the amount of trouble that he got himself in with the Twitter fingers. And those were all things that we were talking about when the Titans did decide to trade A.J. Brown. It was a move at the time. I got it. I understood mm-hmm. it because of all of those aspects plus the money. So we can talk about all day long about how good that tandem was and how much better we would feel about this team if that tandem still existed. But that's crying over spilled milk. Mm-hmm. It's behind us. I think the most important thing is that you hope that this tandem cannot just repeat and recreate what those two did, but be even better for this team. And yeah, it's been a tumultuous road at the wide receiver position to get from what that receiver position was in 2020 mm-hmm. to what it is now. The Julio Jones experiment, trading away A.J. Brown, drafting Traylon Burks, going through his issues or, you know, roadblocks that he experienced this past season. Mm-hmm. It's been a rough couple of seasons at that position. But like I said, cry and get another one.
Well, that's hope what for the they, best.
I will say this.
Do that.
We did a poll during Chase's show, and it's now carried over into here. Starting out with your show when it began at the top of the hour, it was 67% A.J. Brown and Corey Davis and 33% D-Hop and Treylon Burks. I'm not kidding. It is right at 50-50.
Oh, man.
So as this show is going along, it's right at 50-50. And I'll keep you on tabs with that throughout the show. You can go check it out at 102.5 The Game's Twitter. That will be there. It will be retweeted throughout the day.
I think some people, and I understand, people are like sort of, it seems like people are sort of, you know, leaning more toward your thought. Like, okay, it happened. We know it happened. Now we just got to find another one, and we hope the two that we have now can give us the production that they gave us. So I'm going to pick the two now.
The hope and exactly, the excitement the hope for what can excitement. Be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at it from a number standpoint, again, it's not even close. It baffles me that it's 50-50. It's not even close, people. And that's no disrespect to D-Hop. But you got AJ, who's a top five. The kid is explosive. I like Treylon, but I don't think Treylon is as explosive as A.J. Brown. A.J. reminds me, it's a cross between Terrell Owens and Keenan McCardle, but Jimmy Smith. He has the explosion of a Terrell Owens, just pure strength and explosiveness of a Terrell Owens, but he has that smoothness and that route running of a Jimmy Smith. He doesn't run routes as good as Jimmy, but he's smooth with his. When he gets the ball, he's going to get open. He's going to get the ball. But once he gets the ball, he's like Terrell Owens. He's explosive. That first step after catching the football is up the field, and it's very hard to tackle him. Very hard to tackle him. So I'm just looking at the explosiveness of A.J. Brown. And then you couple that with Corey Davis. Corey he's Keenan McCardle. He's smooth. He's that guy that's going to run that perfect route. He's not going to beat you over the top all the time. But if you sleep on him, he's going to beat you over the top. But he's going to work the middle of that field, those intermediate 15 and under. He's going to work them as good as anybody now because he has A.J. Brown on the side of him. When he had to do it by himself, when he didn't have A.J., it was a little bit difficult. But now that he had A.J., it was a little bit easier for him to do that. So those two guys, I would take over D-Hop and Treylon. And a lot of it has to do with the age and the explosiveness of A.J. Brown. So AJ's really carrying a bulk of the weight here.
Yeah.
You know, because of who he is as a player. Because
he was the one.
Exactly.
Corey Davis was drafted to be the one, but AJ Brown was the one. He was the difference maker.
I'm going to say this about AJ. And I hope that I pray that Treylon gets there. All signs point toward something good for him. But AJ probably, and I'm trying to think, other than, who the receiver they drafted right after I left, maybe a few years after I left, I forget his name, out of Rutgers. I can't remember.
We'll look it up.
Yeah, we'll look it up. But AJ was the one. AJ was the one. He was the guy that.
Oh, not Kenny Britt.
Yeah, Kenny Britt. Because Kenny Britt has some of those same similar traits that AJ has. The explosiveness, the ability to get big, fast, physical. But AJ was the one. He was the one guy that could have changed everything from a passing standpoint for the Tennessee Titans. Ultimately, he would have been, if he would have stayed here 10 years, like receivers, you know, just stay with the team 10 years, he would have been one best receiver in Titan all of history by far. Well, with the exception of, Burrow. Was it Burrow? It's H. But this was long ago, Houston Oiler. He's a Hall of Famer. But beside that, A.J. Brown would have been that next guy up. They let him go. They traded him. And now they've been trying to replace that ever since. So, to me, I take those two guys. No slight to the other two, D-Hop and Traylon. Mm-hmm. But A.J. was just a difference maker.
And I get it. You know how successful those two were together. Mm-hmm. And you can look back and say, what in the world were you doing, you know, giving those two up and trading away A.J. Brown? But the person who made those decisions.
Are gone.
He's gone. Mm-hmm. They did what they could do to try and fill in and make the wide receiver position better. Mm-hmm. So I think at this point, you just hope that what you have is just as good, if not better, than what you did have. Mm-hmm. But there's another element of that passing game in 2020 that made that offense so good that we haven't mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder if the Tennessee Titans have found their replacement for him and how big of a role that he can play in this offense and in this passing game. And I want to get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. Chase posed the question, would you rather have the 2020 wide receiver core, Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, versus the unknown, the question, the excitement of Treylon Burks and D-Hop? D-Mace says it's not even close. Give me 2020. We'll get your thoughts on that as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
In media, we call this talking season. It's just a whole lot of talk, a whole lot of predictions.
Right.
But there aren't a lot of predictions out there that are boding very well for the Titans. Not a lot of people are expecting this team to do a whole lot this season. What would you say to those people who don't expect a lot from the Titans?
Keep those same expectations. You know, we're not worried about it. We're just worried about us. We come out here, we practice every day, and then we're going to take care of our stuff.
D-Base, that might have been a message to you from Treylon Burks. Hey, keep those same expectations.
It could be. I mean, I expect him to be great this season. I think I might have been one of the few people that said last year, I saw glimpses of greatness in him, and I think he's going to be fine. I think other people were worried about, oh, he came into camp out of shape last year, and this is what happened last year, and he was injured.
He's a little chonky.
And I kept telling people, like, listen, a lot of rookies are going to go through exactly what he went through. Why? Because especially if you're a first rounder, potential first rounder, you're traveling, you're barely working out. I'm saying working out. You are working out, but for specific things,
for the
40, combine, stuff like that. And then after that, you got all these pro, you know, you got your pro day, and then you're taking all these visits. When do you get to work out?
Mm-hmm.
You don't. Yeah. You don't get to work out the way you need to. And he basically, that's what he told us the other day when we interviewed him. He said that first year was like, it was almost a lost year because of all the things I had to do prior to being drafted. And then when I get drafted, come here, I don't present my best self because of everything that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So people were, Lord, this guy, we got to worry about his health. We got to worry about this coming. And I'm telling you, no, you don't. The kid will be fine. Believe me, his second year will be much better than his first year, at least when it comes to the condition and everything. And what happened? He came back looking much better.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready to go. And I expect him to have a really good season this year if he plays all 17 games. But people were panicking. I wasn't panicking.
I was panicking.
Yeah. Because I understand how it goes. Even for those that are backups, like, guys that are coming to the league and they inspire to be starters, but they end up being backups. Even for those guys, you know, after that first year is like, it's a blur. And, you know, some guys may have a successful first year, but then it's that second year that they come back and they feel like, okay, I really got this. Like, let's go. And they typically have another good year on top of what they did the previous year. And that's what I expected from Treylon. And I still expect that from him. I wasn't worried. I'm still not worried, other than the health part. But mm-hmm. I worry about that with all these guys. Like, man, I hope if they stay healthy, then they'll be good.
Unfortunately, it's unavoidable.
Exactly.
And some guys are more susceptible to injury than others. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be an overlying worry just in football in general.
Exactly.
It's a dangerous sport. But I will say this, and we'll get into our camp takeaways so far. Now that we're at the 1 week point in training camp, some of our takeaways. But one thing. I am drinking the Treylon Burks Kool-Aid. I am a Treylon Burks Bobo. Everything that I have seen and heard from Treylon Burks throughout this offseason, going all the way back to taking the itty-bitty little Polly Pocket Cessna plane to get to OTAs, seeing him in practice, sitting down with him last week and hearing what he learned from last year and how much more ownership he feels in his role this season. I have loved everything from Treylon Burks, and I am drinking the Kool-Aid. But the question that Chase posed that we were throwing around was, would you rather, as Titans fans, have the certainty of the 2020 group of Chris Davis, Corey Davis. Who the heck is Chris? Corey Davis.
Chris Moore.
Yeah, DB's his guy, Chris Moore.
You threw Chris out there, so I was like, Chris Moore? Because I could mean Chris Sanders. I don't know.
Would you rather have Chris Sanders and Derek Mason?
Give me that duo all day, every day.
Even now. Give me 2023 D-Mason, Chris Sanders. Now, would you rather have the certainty of what we know happened in 2020 between Corey Davis and A.J. Brown, or the questions and the potential of Treylon Burks and DeAndre Hopkins? But one element of that 2020 offense that I don't think that we're talking enough about is the tight end position, is how much of a contribution Jonnu Smith had in that offense, and really kind of the sense of confidence that Jonnu Smith gave Ryan Tannehill. So can Chigakonkwo be that for this offense? Can he provide that sense of stability, the blocking ability, and the short yardage catchability that Ryan Tannehill had, that confidence and that kind of security blanket that he had in Jonnu Smith? Can Chigakonkwo be that? Because Joe Rexroth had a wonderful article in The Athletic, I believe it came out this morning, if not late last night, about Chigakonkwo. He was kind of following him around training camp, kind of watching his interactions with Mike Vrabel in practice. It's a really good read, and I highly recommend anyone with an Athletic subscription checking out Joe Rexroth's breakdown of Chigakonkwo. But I think that's an underrated element of this offense and the success of this passing game, of how much can Chigakonkwo build upon what he did this past season? And can he fill in that Jonnu Smith-esque role that proved to be so successful for this 2020 group?
Yeah, that's because of the way the NFL is sort of built now. And we briefly talked about it with TD, I think, yesterday about, you know, how this, you know, and we talked about it with Tim. You know, the more, you know, sort of how the running back position has morphed into something different. And then I think it was Tim brought in, you know, how Jimmy Graham sort of changed how tight ends were looked at. And we can go all the way back to Tony Gonzalez and other people, but how they used Jimmy Graham as a wide receiver and splitting him out wide on a high percentage of their offense, and how that morphed. So you look at what Jonnu was able to do for this offense. What was it, 2020? It wasn't necessarily that he had a bunch of yards. I think he had
shy
like
of
500.
Yeah.
But he had eight or nine touchdowns. And he was a threat, a red zone threat. He was a mismatch for defenses, linebackers. He was too fast for linebackers the majority of the time, and he's too physical for a corner or a safety. So trying to match somebody up with him was difficult once that passing game got going, once they identified their playmakers. I still remember the catch he made against New England on the sideline, cornered in. Like, it was a hell of a catch. Kept his feet in bounds, caught it over the guy. That just shows his ability to not just be a tight end, but sort of that hybrid tight end. And then once they didn't sign him back, they were looking for that. They missed it the next following season, and they've missed it last season too, even though Chigakonkwo came on. So this year, I want to see how, because if they can get Chig to give them the production that Chig is capable of putting up, then it makes their offense a lot better. Because again, it's all about matchups. Why do you think Kansas City offense runs the way it does? I mean, Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
But it's funny how they got rid of the fastest wide receiver and the most dangerous wide receiver in the National Football League.
And they win the Super Bowl.
And they win the Super Bowl. And that offense still clicked because of Kelce. Because he's a matchup problem for any. You can't put a corner on him. Too big.
Right.
Can't put a linebacker. He's too fast. Yeah,
right.
Just too good. Too wiggly. Can't put a safety on him. Same thing. So you can't double him. Because he finds a way to get open because they play street ball out there. Mm-hmm. Run your route. If it's not open, then get open. Basketball on grass. That's just what they call it. It's Kelce that makes that offense run. Not taking anything away from Mahomes. Mahomes is great. We know that. But in the passing game, without Kelce, that passing game is something totally different. If the Titans could get some of that production out of Chigakonkwo, I'm not saying that he's Travis Kelce. I'm not saying that. But he can be a top five tight end in his league if they use him that way, if they put him in positions. Because, again, to me, that's the one guy that can make your job, that makes Traylon's job easy, and that makes D-Hop's job easy. Because now when I got a tight end that can run like Chig, that's physical, that can catch the ball, high point the ball, I can't cover him single. Can't single cover him. Now I got to drop a safety down. Now I got to help. The linebacker got to help. You know, we got to have an inside and outside guy. I can't just put one guy on him at all times. I got to make sure we're all paying attention to what Chig is doing. So if Chig comes out and he's explosive, I guarantee you it's going to make those other two guys' jobs a lot easier. Because now when I line up in a bunch split, I can just think about this. I could put Chigakonkwo at the point in a bunch. I could put Chig at the point, which means he's the inside receiver on the ball. I could put Traylon right on the outside of him. And I could put D-Hop right on the inside on him. Who's covering that? It's hard to cover.
It is.
Not because.
And take into account, you probably got Derrick Henry as well.
And you got Derrick Henry in backfield.
What are you going to do? Are you going to stack the box and you're going to let D-Hop and Traylon Burks run free?
But it's not even about those D-Hops and Traylon Burks. Mm-hmm. It's about Chigakonkwo. Because now I put Chig at the point. Chig runs like a receiver. He can put pressure on that safety. He removes that safety from the middle of the field. Now I got Traylon. If I'm running a three by one, I got a bunch over here and a receiver on the backside. Just say if it's Chris Moore or, I don't know, Kyle Phillips. Let's just say Chris Moore. Chris Moore has a little bit more speed. Put Chris Moore on the outside. Put Trenton in the inside. Chig at the point. D-Hop on the outside. All I got to do is run Chig on a skinny post. Or, matter of fact, flip it. Put D-Hop in the inside. Put Trenton on the outside. I run D-Hop on a shallow cross, 8 yards. Mm-hmm. I run Chig on a skinny post. I run Traylon on an angle route, deep angle route. Who's stopping that? You better have a perfect defense because now I'm putting a three-level pressure on you. You got to account for D-Hop because if you don't, he's going to catch the ball and move the chains. You got to account for Chigakonkwo because if you don't, he's going to run wide open right down the middle of the field. Chris Moore's on the outside running a go route, so he's taking that safety in that corner with him. Traylon's on the outside. I run that skinny post, fade outside a little bit, come inside that corner. Who's going to stop it? Again, you better have a perfect defense because now I'm putting pressure on you. Everybody can run. The only guy that can't run, I'm sending him on a shadow cross. Somebody's going to be open.
And that's the difference, I think, between this offense this season and this past year is you've got layers to it.
Exactly.
You can disguise what you're going to do, and you can give Ryan Tannehill at least options. This past season, it was, yes, a problem with personnel, that you just you didn't have anyone that still cared to defense, nor did Todd Downing try to disguise things and try to throw the defense off balance. Now you have the ability to layer things and to disguise things a little bit more. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get into your thoughts on that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Right to your phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 102.5 and 106.3, The Game, for driver interviews leading up to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix presented by Lincoln Tech's NADC and the Nashville Sheriff. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix will be 3 days of racing, 3 days of music, and one huge event. So go to musiccitygp.com for tickets and get ready to experience Nashville's premier speed and sound event this Friday through Sunday. DeMaze, the people have spoken. Unless you have a thought.
Let's go to the phones.
Let's get to the phones. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us at the top of the hour. One texter texts in, says, but the 2020 offensive line was way better than it is now. That factors into it as well. That is a factor.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And our texter is right. So, I mean, even with that, if you got a good offensive line, which group are you taking? Okay, if you want to add in, say let's add in the 2020's offensive line to today. Which group are you taking? So just to sort of make it even across the board as far as the things that they don't have control over, the meaning receivers, they don't have control over the offensive line.
Right.
The quarterback is still the same. And if you want to say, well, the play caller, I think is a better play caller. Arthur Smith is a better play caller than Tim Kelly is. I can go with that. So if you want to say, well, let it be Arthur Smith across the board. Okay. If you want it to be Arthur Smith across the board, then which group are you still taking? Even though I do believe that Tim Kelly is an upgrade from Todd Downing last season.
I would be an upgrade from Todd Downing.
So I don't know, you know, as far as how he's going to look this season, I don't know, but I would tend to believe that it will be an upgrade from last season. Now, will he be better than Arthur Smith? I don't know, you know.
And that's what we all hope, just seeing what Arthur Smith was able to unlock with Tannehill and that entire offense as a whole. But, yeah, I mean, the offensive line absolutely is a concern. There's no doubt about it. Steven Whitebluff texts and says, I'd rather have anybody other than crybaby A.J. Brown.
Well, I wouldn't want you running my team, yeah, if that's the case. Yeah, all these players, they cry about something eventually. So if you don't want somebody just because they want to get paid, but they're still producing. I can see if he wasn't producing but was screaming, I want to get paid. Give me some money. Then we could be like, hey, dude, please stop. You haven't even produced. But this kid was producing, and he wanted to get paid based upon what he has done. So I don't mind. That's just unfortunate that the Titans couldn't get it worked out, and he would have been here.
And I get it. It's one, jaded Titans fans, and two, it's Titans fans that were probably sick and tired of hearing from A.J. Brown on social media. I get it. I understand it. But anybody else other than A.J. Brown, good luck. Alex in Montreal texts in, says, D-Maze, do you think that Burks can change your mind if he reaches his potential?
I mean, change my mind in regards to how, like,
this conversation. This receiving core.
No, because to me, I'm just an AJ fan. I didn't particularly like how it ended with him or the Titans, how he handled it or how the Titans handled it, in a sense. But I've seen enough of AJ that the kid's a stud. However you want to, you may not like him because he left, but the kid's a stud. Even if I see it from Traylon, I just think they are two different receivers. I think they have some of the same traits, but I just think they play sort of different, you know. But again, if you're saying that, then am I taking Corey Davis then? Or D-Hop now, that 2020 season, I would have to say, and this is based on, I'm looking at a guy now, what he is now, and what a guy was then. I'm not looking at what he is now, right. Corey Davis. I'm taking Corey Davis.
But also, to an extent, how fair is that?
It's not. That's what I'm saying. It's not fair. It's truly not fair. It's not fair to D-Hop because his last two seasons have been marred with injury and suspension.
Like, if I could choose 2020 D-Hop over 2020 Corey Davis.
And then I'm taking 2020 D-Hop. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. But if I'm taking D-Hop now to a 2020 Corey Davis, I think just about anybody in a league will look at it and say, I'm taking Corey Davis. He's younger. More explosive down the field, Yeah, he doesn't. Does he catch the ball like D-Hop? No, he doesn't. Not many people do. I mean, hell, nobody does in the NFL right now. But I think Corey gives you, because of his youth, he gives you a little bit more of an explosiveness, meaning he can get down the field. He's not just a two-layered guy. He's a three-layered guy. He can run a short route, intermediate route, and he can get downfield. Well, D-Hop is more sort of the two-layer guy, short, intermediate. Now, every once in a while, he's going to get it, but it's going to be a 50-50 catch unless the defense is just blown and he's wide open. But Corey can get down the field a little bit more often than D-Hop. So I'm taking a 2020 Corey Davis over 23 D-Hop. And that's not fair, because if we switched it, if you said, oh, no, 2020 D-Hop, then it's no brain. I'm taking D-Hop.
2023 D-Hop versus 2023 Corey Davis. I'm taking DeAndre Hopkins 7 days. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Wes in Clarksville, Texan, says, if AJ was on the team, would we still have gone after DeAndre Hopkins? My initial thought is yes. Mm. Because think about it. In 2021-2, Titans traded A.J. Brown to go up to 16 to draft Treylon Burks. Mm-hmm. If the Titans wouldn't have traded A.J. Brown, they would have stayed where they were originally slated to pick in 2022. Mm. Mid to late 20s?
Yeah, it was mid-20s because they moved up to 16, right?
So you,
it was
you wouldn't have gotten Treylon Burks. If
early
you're in
to
mid-20s. Right. If you're in the early to mid-20s, you wouldn't have gotten Treylon Burks.
No.
I think I think the Saints maybe were picking, whatever it was, doesn't matter. Treylon Burks would have been gone by then. So A.J. Brown would have still been your one, and there still would have been a question about who was your two. And we can get into who would they have taken in the middle late 20s in their original pick in the first round of that draft. We can get into all of that. But I still believe that if you would have held on to A.J. Brown, the receiver position still would have been a question mark, because you still wouldn't have had that two. You went through the Julio experiment. That obviously failed. I think the Titans would have found themselves in a very similar position. Now, would they have addressed the wide receiver position in this year's draft sooner than they did in the seventh round? Maybe. I mean, we can play revisionist history all day long, but I still believe that DeAndre Hopkins to the Titans would have still been a conversation had the Titans traded A.J. Brown or not.
I don't know. I don't know for this reason. Because the only reason they go out and get traded, the only reason they go out and get DeAndre Hopkins is because they have no known commodity. They have no known commodity. They have a potential in Treylon, but because he didn't finish out the whole season, it was still that, okay, can he ascend to the number one position this year? You know, can we rely on him that heavy? And in their minds, they're like, no, we can't. We're not going to do that. We're going to bring in some insurance. So what did they do? Go out and get Chris Moore and D-Hop. I think if AJ's still there, they don't pay that much for D-Hop. They don't get him. Because D-Hop is not coming.
Because you're going to be paying.
Because they're like,
so
listen, we got our number one guy. We just need a good number two. A good. They could have still went and got Chris Moore. But they wouldn't have paid the money to go get D-Hop, which meant D-Hop wouldn't have been here. They probably would have liked him to come here. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. But they wouldn't have been in a position. It was almost like they had to with D-Hop.
Right.
They had to be the team that gave him more than everybody else.
They had no other options.
If they got AJ, they got other options. They don't have to pay as much money for D-Hop because they got Court. I mean, they got AJ.
They could have felt more comfortable about drafting a receiver
in
the first round, young guy learning from AJ.
Absolutely.
We could do this all day long. But I go back to my theme of this question of, would you take 2020 Corey Davis and AJ Brown, or now 2023 and kind of the uncertainty with Treylon Burks and DeAndre Hopkins? My theme with that is, cry about it, get another one. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So no Titans practice today, or at least it's closed to the media. We'll be back out there on Friday. They're back on the practice field tomorrow. But there is a battle going on in camp, and it might not be the one that you're thinking about, but I think it is really important. We'll get into that coming up next. Jonathan Hutton in 15 minutes. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
We're looking for physicality. You know, those guys who can take two guys on at a time with their hands, with different techniques and fundamentals. So we'll continue to put them in those positions this week and next week before our first preseason game.
That was Craig Aukerman on a battle that I've been watching in camp.
And I know that everyone wants to talk about the backup quarterback battle because it's the quarterback position. And it's Will Levis, second round pick with first round hype. But I'm talking about the kicker battle. And I know that talking about a kicker and the kicking battle is probably one of the least sexy things that you can talk about. It's like talking about like a long snapper battle or like who's going to play right guard. It's not something that's going to get SportsCenter headlines, and it's not something
that nobody wants to be sitting there talking about that.
You know, nobody, kicker battle
exactly.
is not as fun as talking about what Jeffrey Simmons did in practice or about how Will Levis looked in practice. But it's important because I look at – like let's look at this past season, for example. There were two games that could have been decided by kicks.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Bullock, Fat Randy, missed a field goal against the Giants. That was a one-point loss. Mm-hmm. You make that field goal, that's the difference between starting the season with a win and starting the season with a loss. Against the Chargers, that was a 17-14 loss, which looking back on it, what a disgusting offensive game from those two. 17-14 loss. Randy Bullock missed a field goal in that game as well. He makes that field goal at 17-17. You take it to overtime. That could potentially be the difference between two games.
Yeah.
And if you really want to look at it, you make that kick against the Giants, you probably win the division.
Yeah.
It's a game of inches. So whenever you miss those kicks, it can be a drastic difference with the outcome of a season. You beat the Giants and the Chargers, you win the division, you're going to the playoffs. And it's a completely different story of how the Titans season played out. And look, I know, I'm fully aware that the difference between those field goals being makes and misses is not the story of this past season, and that it was the injuries and the offensive coordinator and the general manager getting fired in the middle of the season. Those are much bigger storylines. I know, I understand. But even with kicker not being the sexiest thing to talk about, in a game of inches, mm-hmm. it can make massive differences. So I'm looking at the kicker battle between Caleb Shudak and Trey Wolf. We've been watching some kicking and practices. We saw Trey Wolf yesterday. He was 7 of 8 yesterday with one miss from 46. He made it from 42, 34, 38, 33, 52, 33, and 54. Didn't see a whole lot from Caleb Shudak yesterday, mm-hmm. but on Monday, he was 7 of 8, 18 of 20 so far in camp. He had misses from he had one miss from 38 yards in camp on Monday with makes from 42, 34, 46, 33, 52, and 33, and 54.
Mm-hmm.
So my big thing here, D-Mace for the kicker, can we just find a guy that you feel good from like 45? Like, I don't need you to be Justin Tucker. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to be slamming kicks from 65 yards downfield. But can you just get a guy that you feel comfortable enough kicking from 42, you get the field goal, you move on?
Yeah, last year, Randy Bullock, he was okay. He hit 83% of his field goals, 83-84. He was good. But in this league, I think, you know, because it's changed so much, 83% isn't going to cut it. Mm-hmm. It's not. And listen, he was 12 for 12 between 30 and 39. Okay, those are sort of, you know, they're chip shots, and
he needs it. When you're an NFL kicker.
Exactly, those are chip shots.
Yeah.
And listen, I can't do it, but he can't do my job either. People would say, "Oh man, a 5-yard catch—you should make that catch wide open every time. That's a routine catch," and they're right.
Yeah,
these are routine kicks, 30, 39 yards. There, you can do this in your sleep. They're chip shots. You've been doing this forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you made it to the league because you can kick those kicks like nothing. Like, you can walk on the field, not even stretching, and make a 30, you know, in between a 30 and a 39-yarder.
Mm-hmm.
40, between 40 and 45, 49, this is where you get in trouble. This is where a lot of times, this is where the game, it hinges on whether you're going to win or lose mm-hmm. between that 40 and 49. And he was 8 for 13.
Oh,
you can't be 8 for 13. You cannot be 8 for 13. I don't know how many PATs. I guess he was 5 for 5. Nah. How many PATs did he make or miss?
He was 28 for 28.
Okay. So that, because every kicker isn't you know, 100% in that range, even though they should be, we think. But we've seen kicks that have been missed.
We saw Brett Maher miss, what, how many kicks? Four kicks
in the playoffs last year. As much as we say it should be routine, but it should be. But in between that 40 and 49, those are your money kicks. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to have those kicks. You got to be in the 90%, like, over 90% kicking from that distance. Why? Because this is your job. This is what you do. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, putting a really, really good golfer and saying, you know, this is a par three. Like, you should birdie this hole. Or you should at least par. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be, you know, bogey and double bogeys on three. Because this is what you do. Like, you've been working for X amount of years to make these. So you should be more pars and birdies than, you know, over. He's been over too much.
Yeah.
He's been a golfer that has been over too much on a par three.
And it changes the trajectory. It can change the trajectory of a game or of a season. Look at Evan McPherson. He's the kicker for the Bengals. And the Bengals drafted him. Mm-hmm. I want to say maybe in the sixth round. In the sixth round. So everyone was looking at the Bengals like, what are you doing drafting a kicker? Like, Bengals.
And Evan McPherson
in the 2021 season, that was the difference of winning and not winning the divisional round of the playoffs when the Bengals came in at Nissan Stadium and beat the Titans that came down to a field goal. Mm-hmm. That's how they beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game to get them to the Super Bowl. Those two kicks from, I think it was either 40 or 45 plus, that was the difference between the Bengals getting to the Super Bowl and not. So I know it's not the sexiest thing in the world to talk about, but it makes a huge, can make a huge difference. And I was talking to Sam Phelan of A to Z Sports when we were out at practice. We were watching some of the kickers. And it was Caleb Shudak who missed from 36. And I said, please, can we just get a guy that from 40 plus I feel confident in? And Sam looked at me. He was like, what in the league? You know, you should get a guy who can hit from 50. And I was like, no. I know. But the bar's on the floor. Just find me a guy who can hit from 45 plus, and I'll feel better when I sleep at night. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.